This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line. Just like, let's say, Joel Embiid with a face mask, you can't keep the big guy down. Michael Lombardi is back here on the Lombardi Line, knocked out with COVID, but he's back stronger than ever. How you feeling, man?
I feel better. You know, I mean, I got to be honest, it wasn't a pleasant 4 days, but it's your back. And, you know, thank God I was vaccinated, because I can't imagine going through that without it. My hat's off to anybody who's been able to do that. Wow. It is. It's an interesting 4 days. You know, the weirdest part, Pat, the dreams that you have.
Some lucidity
on
with
COVID
it,
like are like the
dreams?
Weirdest things you've ever seen. Huh?
Like lucid dreams? You're like having very visual.
Well, you're
experiences.
Tired all the time. I mean, you're exhausted. It's like you, and then your dreams are just weird. Like, and you remember them like vividly, and they don't make any sense. You know, I needed to go see Dr. Melfi to kind of get them handled, but they just didn't really all come together.
So we'll get through today's betting action, but walk me through the 4 days, because obviously there's such a varying, some people say, well, it felt like a cold, and then some people get completely knocked out like you. What was the worst part of it for you?
It was the exhaustion. I think it was just being really, really tired and having a tremendous headache. I think those are the two things, along with a bad cough. I mean, I think I got the trifecta of it for some reason. And whereas our man Bill next door here, he didn't get it as bad, but he got it. You know, he still was going through it. I was fortunate enough to be able to take the Paxil Void, I think it's called, where it's supposed to help you curb the symptoms, not necessarily dissipate them. So, but it was just a lot of exhaustion. I mean, really, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Monday too, I really didn't move. I mean, and I, you know, other than I had to take I'm by myself, fortunately.
Uh-oh.
Because my wife and family, they're all elsewhere coming back today, that I was, you know, I'm in charge of the dogs, and you know, that program doesn't stop. It doesn't care if you're sick or not, you got to move on.
So my assumption, it's with travel, right? My assumption was your trip here to Vegas and back, that had to be it for you where you got it.
You know, I don't know. I can't pinpoint it. I mean, when I returned home Sunday, Monday, I was fine. I felt good. Tuesday, I didn't feel as well. I think a lot of it had to do with watching Doc Coach and the 76ers.
That's where we were going next. That's
a
where
little
I was
bit of
headed
agitative.
Next. Yes. Maybe you gave a better effort the last 5 days than your 76ers did on Tuesday. Like, that was embarrassing.
No doubt. How about Embiid now? Everybody, you know, I'm in a no-win situation. If I play hurt, they're going to say I don't play good enough. If I don't play, they're going to complain. You know what I learned last night? The guy that should be the most pissed off about the MVP is Giannis. He's the best player in the league.
My goodness.
Great players do what he did last night. That's what great players look like. I think the biggest thing, and you've read some of my book, I think the biggest difference in watching sports today is what we think is great necessarily isn't great. I think there's a gap. I really do. I think we think that, oh, Johnny Unitas was just a player. He's too slow or this or that. Great players play great at the most opportune moment. And the other night, Embiid obviously didn't. Giannis last night carried him. I mean, I know Holiday finished it out the game, but, you know, Holiday was 9-for-24 from the floor. But Giannis was great. Like, he's the MVP of the league. I don't even understand how there's a conversation about anyone else.
You can have Tatum. You can have Brown. You can have Smart. I was texting you with your boy Will Hill. They're good players. They're very good players. Giannis is an all-timer. He had blood trickling down his face. He led the way with 40-11. And when it mattered most, he and Drew Holiday took over. Holiday's been the second-best player in the series. I mean, Holiday with the defense and that offensive rebound off the free throw was huge to seal it. But this, Michael, this was the Bucks were trailing 93-79 with 10 minutes to go, and they went on a run that was fueled by Giannis. He is the best player in the NBA.
You know, and it was fueled by, as much as Van Gundy didn't like his 5 three-point attempts, which I agree with Van Gundy. Like, I think sometimes he does that, you know, he's kind of, but I think he's trying to catch his breath. But more than anything, I mean, you know, making those clutch three-pointers down the stretch. Yep. Look, great players find a way to win games like that. Like, that, they stole that one from Boston, there's no doubt. And Holiday was great. There's no denying it. There is no denying it. But to me, I'm watching that game, and I'm thinking to myself, I've seen this before, Dr. J, Moses Malone. You can date me if you want. You know, I've seen this with Barkley, but I've never seen this with Embiid. You know, Embiid has all this. He's a great talent. He just is not a great player. He doesn't close out. You don't play. You're not a great player and play like you did the other night. That game was over with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Oh, I wrote that down for you. So the last four games of the NBA postseason, check this out. The Heat won by 35. Phoenix won by 30. Memphis last night won by 39. Golden State didn't even try. At one point, they were up 55, the Grizzlies. And then the Bucks won by 3 last night. But those last four games we've watched have been 30-plus point scores. I mean, it's been unbelievable with the differential.
There hasn't been the quality of play is like what I want is every game to be like Milwaukee, Boston last night, where, you know, one team has the lead. The other team's not out of it. That's what I remember when I watched Jordan, when I watched the Bulls, and when I watched some of these other teams. You know, these blowout games were, I don't even know why they went to Miami. Like, seriously, why did they go to Miami? And then what I love the most after that wonderful effort, Doc gave the team off, which I think they deserved. I mean, they earned it. You know, take the day off. Relax.
It's embarrassing. I'll date myself. Do you think the bad boy Pistons playing Bird and the Celtics, do you think they took games off in the postseason? I mean, literally last night, and this is on Steph too, who I love. Steph and the Warriors went there up 3-1 and just decided, you know what? Business decision. We're not going to give an effort tonight. That's really what it comes down to.
Silver has to decide what he wants to do with this game. Even the playoffs were taking nights off. Like, this isn't good for the ratings. I mean, Dallas and Phoenix the other night wasn't close. I think Phoenix just they didn't match the level of intensity. Like, how can you at 2-2 coming off of two great wins? How can you be that flat? How could you go out there and be that flat? And not look at the coach or look at some of the people on the team and say, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? You think Ricky Mahorn would have allowed some of that to happen?
Oh, my gosh.
Or, you know, in some of the Isaiah or some of those players from those eras. When we throw around great, you know, we forget what great really looks like. Great doesn't look like that. Great doesn't have that kind of effort. Great's effort all the time. And then it's woe is me, you know, and then he's upset that Barkley yelled at him. And then he's now saying, well, you know, I'm in a no-win situation. You know, if I don't play well, you know, they're going to not understand. Look, you've got injuries, right? You got injuries. Everybody does. I mean, Giannis got his eye cut. Play. Play good. Win. That's the most important thing. Nobody cares about your numbers. They care about winning.
And you talked about greatness. I'll tease it a little bit. I won't give away anything. But greatness transcends. And I was able to read a chapter of your book yesterday, and it really stood out to me. This was a player from 70 years ago. I won't give anything else away. But that's transcendence, right? And when I people get upset with me, the new analytic kids get upset with me when I say Chris Paul's not Isaiah Thomas. He simply isn't. Chris Paul's played like garbage for three straight playoff games. Isaiah carried
the
Pistons.
We just dismiss it. We just dismiss it. It's like it's okay. It's like it's no big deal. And we've accepted this as a fan base. We've accepted this when I know we sound like old guys and say, well, the NBA was better when we played. It was. I'm just telling you, it
was.
Objectively,
it was.
And it's still alive. Giannis and Boston and Milwaukee, it's alive. That's what we want. I mean, that's what we want. I mean, Miami might not have great players. They've got one. But they're going to bring it every night. Now, they might not shoot well and they're going to get beat. But look, they had every chance to win game four. Maxey doesn't make some of those shots in the fourth quarter in game four. And Harden doesn't come out of his slump. They're going to win game four. This is over with. They'll be over with by tonight.
So I give JVT, and you can get his picks over at VSiN.com. I give JVT a ton of credit because he's capping these games and nobody's better. But the last four postseason games, three of them have been decided by 30 points or more. That's a league-wide issue. That's systemic. 30 or more in Spurs differential, that's completely untenable as far as.
And we're not at a point, we're not at a playoff point here where we're talking about, you know, this is ones playing eights. Like, right, no. We're talking about the divisional round, right? We're talking about the final eight teams on both sides or the final four, the final eight teams in the whole league, right? This should be back and forth. Look, you know, I've seen four-game series that were close. Go watch the Lakers play the Sixers in, 82? Those games were close. The Philly took the game over in the fourth. Look, I'm not saying they all have to be within one shot, but at least how about some effort like last night? I mean, that effort in Miami was, if I were Josh Harris and I owned the team, I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed as the coach. And then when they interviewed Doc coming out of the break, he's like, well, you know, we just weren't, we got to get going. What do you mean you got to get going? This is game five. 82% of the teams that win game five win the series.
To be fair to Doc, maybe there was a new Airbnb renter in the Malibu house, and he had a tough day of trying to juggle the homes. Anyway,
true.
I digress. You've got two
but
series.
But he gave him off, so he had a day yesterday. He had a day to catch up.
Yeah, he had. That's called golfing. You've got two series.
Now he can't golf back. Well, it was nice in Philly. I take that back. It's not been nice in the Jersey Shore, but it was nice in Philly.
Two series that could close out tonight. We come back. We'll get to the Heat 76ers, get Michael Lombardi's take on that, of course. And then Phoenix in Dallas. I mean, what was that from the Mavericks the other night? We'll see if Dallas barks or 2-0 at home in this series. So maybe we'll get some competition and competitive games tonight. Right now, the 76ers are on the board at 2. A couple of 2.5s out there as well. And the Suns are laying a deuce on the road at the Mavs. When we come back, we'll start capping these games. We've got, of course, our buddy Vinny Maliulo stopping by as well. It's good to have Michael Lombardi back. It's good to be back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, it is The Lombardi Line as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're presented by BetMGM. Hopefully you're having a nice, what is it, Michael? Is it already Thursday as we head into a big weekend? By the way, a big day. I know you're excited. You probably got up early to prepare for the schedule release, which is dropping.
Yeah.
It's dropping 8 p.m. Eastern. I actually have the Christmas day, the Christmas triple header, which is supposed.
Do you really?
I can get to those if you want.
There's so much trickling out now. I mean, the teams have it, and so they've all gotten it. And, you know, there's an interesting opening game that I can't really get into, but it does maybe involve a quarterback and a team that may be after a quarterback. But, you know, we'll talk about it later, Patrick.
Hey, keep those lips zipped over there, Lombardi. Hey, quickly, just from a front office, like as fans, as bettors, of course, DraftKings 10 o'clock tonight will have all week one lines. So as bettors, we get into the schedule release. You know, within an organization, what's the process like?
Well, I mean, look, the schedule release is for most people in the organization, it's about who we playing in September. You know, it's like, because you don't worry about the schedule until you know, driving to the stadium, which quarterback you're going to play. You know, if you're getting ready to play Kansas City and, you know, and Mahomes is out for 4 weeks, are you worried about that game? But on the schedule in May, it looks pretty tough. I think the first thing you want to do when you see the schedule is, okay, what games do we have in common? Is there any commonality between the offenses and defense we're going to play? And what's the albatross? What's the team that we really don't know that we're going to have to spend some time? So when teams that play Philly outside of Washington, New York, and Dallas, the teams that play Philly and this running game that Philly has, which is different than a lot of running games in the league, we're going to have to prepare for this, right? So we're going to have to spend some time in May, in June, and especially in July and August and the summer, kind of working on some of the things Philly does. Because if we think we're going to be able to handle Philly on a Wednesday practice with Jalen Hurts running this Oklahoma offense, we're just not going to have enough time. So we're going to have to spend it. It's a little bit back to when Buddy Ryan was running the Bear defense. You just didn't get ready to play the Bear defense in the first 3 days of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before. You had to study it, understand it, get involved in it, kind of break it down. So when the schedule comes out, that's kind of what you really want to look at. And then more than anything, what new team do we play early in the season? You're playing Denver, Russell Wilson. You know it's going to be West Coast offense. But what are they going to be like on defense? How are they going to – are they going to be Vic Fangio-based defense? Are they going to be a little slightly different? What's the adjustments? What's their calls? Those kind of things. That's what you're really looking at. September is really the only thing you're looking in terms of moving forward.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm not giving away any secrets, but when we dropped you off with Mick there at the Raiders, I mean, he was literally just grinding tape of the Chargers. So he was staying in division, right? So yeah. You start in division, and then when you get the schedule, you start with those early weeks, and that's what you do.
Yeah. And the reason he was starting with the Chargers is because at least he knows they're going to run the same thing again next year. Even though Staley will tweak it, he knows that the cornerstone of their defense will remain the same. You know, he's not sure what he's looking at when he's going to go watch Denver tape. He's not sure about the Chiefs. Will they change without Mathieu in the middle? Spagnuolo's always been a little bit off the rails. But the one thing about Spagnuolo is – is Josh McDaniels was with him in St. Louis. So they kind of have a sense of how he calls the game, and they've played him so much when he was in New York that they understand his call sheet. So it's familiarizing yourself with the unknown a little bit, taking some time, especially now. But more than anything, as a coach, what you have to do is understand what team can't we get ready for that we need to get ready for that we're going to have to play that's off the beaten track.
Right.
You know, whether it's Arizona and Kyler Murray, you know, we're going to have to prepare for his beep-beeping, especially early in the season. You know, is it Green Bay? Whatever it is, there's uniqueness in every system and scheme that you just can't get ready for on Wednesday practice.
So, by the way, you called this, that New England would be looking to move on from Jarrett Stidham. We do have news here on the Lombardi line. It looks like the Patriots are finalizing a trade of backup quarterback Jarrett Stidham to the Las Vegas Raiders. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's the perfect fit, right? I mean, Stidham was there. They like Stidham. You know, Bill drafted over Stidham. He gave Stidham some time. Now he replaces Stidham, gets some draft picks. It kind of works out for both parties. It gives the Raiders a younger player that they can kind of develop. And who knows with Stidham? There was a lot of high hopes with Stidham early when he first got there in New England, but it hasn't really manifested itself as it's come through. You know, I mean, they've got Garrett Gilbert, who was in Washington last year. You know, we'll see what happens there. Nick Mullins is one of those guys that as soon as it went bad, it went bad. You know, it's like he had some moments where you thought, oh, maybe this guy's got a chance. But then when it goes bad and that lack of confidence and that lack of being able to carry over, I think ultimately will affect it. So this gives them a legitimate backup starter. And I think what you're going to start to see now is some of this quarterback movement a little bit. I do think Baker Mayfield gets moved in the next 3 or 4 days. I really do. I think something will happen there. Because, I mean, look, let's face it. The Brownies are out of options. There is no options. And, you know, Carolina is still interested. They're going to have to listen and take it because who else is coming? I mean, Pete Carroll's gone out of his way to say he's not. And you can't bring back – people say, well, you know, what happens if Deshaun's is suspended game one? Well, it ain't Baker's team. You think Baker – and Baker ain't coming.
You saw what Carroll said about Locke, and maybe he's not wrong. He said if Locke was in this draft, he would have been the first quarterback taken. I don't know if that's really an overwhelming endorsement.
That's kind of an interesting statement, especially considering all the people that were talking about how great – how five quarterbacks were going to go in this draft. And I kept saying that you know, like some of the guys that went in the second and third, they weren't as good as – they were better than all these guys. I mean, the fact that Lamar Jackson – I was talking to a guy in the league the other day before I got sick. We were talking about – he went to go watch Willis play. And, you know, he was expecting to see Lamar. He was expecting to see that kind of dynamic. And, you know, he got sacked 5 or 6 times. He couldn't get out of the way. It was – it like – and he's like, wait a minute, Lamar's the 32nd pick in the draft, and people are talking about this guy in the top 10? What am I missing here? And I think that's ultimately what it was. We just tried – the networks tried to manufacture quarterbacks to fit the narrative of the story they wanted to tell.
To your point, Lamar was an all-timer in college at Louisville. Your son knows him very well. An all-time – I mean, what he did in college was all-time, and he was that fifth quarterback taken in that draft. So, that, I mean, that – like – come on. Now, was he underdrafted? Yes, we know he's won an MVP, but what we're trying to say here is there was nothing that you could compare Lamar Jackson and Malik Willis to. There's no, they're not on the same
nothing.
Planet.
No, they're not. And so you're dealing with, and one guy is talking about in the top 10, and, you know, remember, if Matt Rhule doesn't take him, you know, he needs a quarterback. He's going to lose his job. Remember that. So, you know, I mean, he's going to lose his job if he takes him. I mean, imagine if he took him at 6. And passed up the left tackle and passed up helping his team. He ends up getting Corral in the third round. Great. He also got another defensive player in the third round. That's even better. And now he can go on with his life and try to fix his team and at least know that he can protect himself on the left side. You know, at least now with Ekwonu, he's got at least now he can move Christensen into guard, who's the kid they drafted in the third round last year. They like him. They've got Bozeman to play. They signed from Baltimore. They got Corbett, who's a tough kid to play guard. And they got Moten. So at least they have a functional offensive line to evaluate Darnold. And if they were able to get Mayfield, they could do that.
Okay, let me wet your whistle with the triple header on Christmas. So last year, remember, I think it was the Pats beat the Browns No, the Packers beat the Browns on Christmas. But just for fun, the rating on that was 28.6 million viewers. To kind of give you a contrast, a really good playoff game in the NBA right now is going to get 7. An NFL Christmas Day game got almost 29 million viewers. Okay, let's start here. Early game on Christmas, Packers at the Dolphins. Wow. Broncos.
Speaking of the Dolphins, can we just take it before you go further? Yes. Can we just, did you see this video floating around on Tua?
You mean the duck?
Did you see this?
The
can we stop here for a second? I can't believe it. Matt Santos, I can't believe we're 20 minutes into the show and then we're finally talking. Like, did you see this video?
I did.
Now I understand the guy that put the video up there got fired. Like, they put this out there like it was a good pass. It was a fair catch.
They fired the guy?
I mean, it was like it was an infield. I thought they were going to call the infield fly rule.
Tariq Hill was running back to the ball.
I mean, what was so good about it? It was because Tyreek Hill pivoted in a different direction. Anyway.
At least, by the way, at least it was a tight spiral. Wait, no, it wasn't. It was wobbly AF.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. So Packers, Dolphins to open up the triple header on Christmas. Midday, Broncos at the Rams. Late night, prime time, Bucks at Arizona. Those are three pretty good games. You've got Brady, you got Rodgers, you got Stafford, you got Wilson, you got Murray, and you have Tua.
Yeah, and you have Tua. Can't wait. I mean, where are the Raiders on Christmas Day? That's got to be the key question because that's kind of determining my holiday schedule.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Millie going to be happy with the crew on Christmas or without them on Christmas? No Panthers either. But those are pretty good. Packers, Dolphins, Broncos, Rams, Bucks, Arizona Cardinals. That's Christmas triple header, which is awesome. I have the Thanksgiving leaks, which I'll get to in a bit, but our buddy Vinny Maliulo joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we were talking about the schedule release. Well, the VSiN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer until the end of July, which is great. Next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers are going to have access to all of it, including you get Adam Burke's daily Major League Baseball best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to have his best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Annie McNeil Sunshine is going to break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention best bets, articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, NASCAR, and more. Point Spread Weekly is included. It's all for $59. VSiN.com/spring. That's VSiN.com/spring. Michael Lombardi back. We're happy he's on the mend. I can still hear it in your voice, man. He's still recovering from COVID, but he's here. I'm here. Patrick Maher. And, of course, Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo.
We got our guy there.
Hall of Famer. We must introduce him as a Hall of Famer. Oh, that's what he said when he walked in.
No, you know that's not my style.
I'm lying. No, it's great to see you, Ben.
Good to see you. Nice job last week on the Derby coverage, Patrick. Good to get to hear you some. And, Michael, hope you're on the mend, buddy. I'm glad to hear that.
I've turned the corner. It was great to see Patrick back there. I mean, I love the fact that 80-1 – nobody expected it. Gets in the race 30 seconds before.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's like, how does this even happen? But it does. It makes racing so much fun to watch.
Michael, so I was telling Vinny, where I was standing there at the track, what's cool about the Kentucky Derby and horse racing in general, it's very inclusive. They want people to have a good time. And so you can kind of roam around. You can get close to the horses. So I was standing right there near the winner's circle. And when the horse crossed, we thought it was the two, Happy Jack, a Doug O'Neill-trained horse.
Yep,
it was 21. Remember, Rich Strike got into the race because Dwayne Lucas, the day before, scratched his horse. Here's the punch. When he crossed and we started going through who it was, nobody, and I mean nobody, had ever heard of the owner, the trainer, or the jockey. Like, these are people that were in the sport, know a hell of a lot more than I do. They said they didn't know Leon, and they didn't know Reed, who was the trainer of Rich Strike. It was beyond improbable, and that's what makes horse racing great.
And he looked good, too, doing it. I mean, the way the jockey maneuvered him around the inside of the...
That kid ran around.
The way he...
Yeah.
He was incredible, right, Vinny?
No, but he did it. That kid did a great job. He had a great ride. I mean, he took advantage of a ridiculous pace too.
The Japanese horses crushed that. Crushed that race.
So, look, here's the thing: when you look at, you got to tip your cap. Full disclosure: I did not. Not even, I was like, I almost got in, I think, too. So it was less than 24 hours before, and I believe within 30 minutes of declaring.
Yes, that's what Michael just said.
Right?
He was a $30,000 maiden claimer.
Look, you have to love the fact, too. But what a weekend, though, for prices. So you have 80-1 in the Derby. Bival beats Canelo Alvarez at, 450, 475.
The boxing, yeah.
Homa wins at 40-1 in the golf. Joey Logano at 25-1. So it was a weekend of upsets, long shots, prices. And look, that's what's great. And I know a lot of people think, we kid around about, when you get beat as a house, that has to happen sometime, because all it does is create so much more business.
Sure.
But it was an exciting weekend, and now we get ready for the big reveal tonight.
Well, that is the scheduled release coming up at 8 Eastern, Michael's time, 5 o'clock our time. So, Michael, we've been ribbing with Vinny about the season win totals, but now, this is the information you've been waiting for,
yeah,
including the draft, the first round of free agency. And I was hoping we could take a step behind the counter here.
Sure.
I think people would be interested in this. So what Vinny does is Vinny comes up with his own set,
mm-hmm,
of season wins.
Right.
You hand them over to Chris Andrews,
right,
who officially runs the book here at the, mm-hmm, South Point. Mm-hmm. And then I'm guessing there's a discussion.
Yeah. So, again, did not put up I know that there were some places that put up regular season wins probably about a month or so ago, and credit to them for doing so. It's not a knock on them. But they're going to have to be tweaked quite a bit. If you think about from a month ago or more, free agent signings, and I know there's still a few more free agent signings to go, but I think a lot of the majority of them are done. The draft and any trades – to come about, whether in association with independent of the draft. So we prefer to wait. And so what I do is, and yesterday, in fact, I've got my list of numbers here. I'll wait just to see if I tweak anything after tonight. But I say to Chris here, here's my numbers here. And the way the process works, and Chris, our director here, and again, we're dear friends for over 40
sure
years too. So You don't want to have a situation where, just like the NCAA tournament, when the pairings and the games are announced and we're sitting back there making numbers, you don't want everybody to have the exact same number, the exact same price, because you want to discuss it. Now you're within a ballpark, but Chris does a good job. He compiles it and he looks at it, and then somebody's got to make the decision to say, okay, this is what we're hanging. Let's go. And that's what he does. And so egos aside, you just have to, give it some thought, and then Chris will say, okay, yeah, we'll put them up. So I know Chrissy's back today, and he'll look at them, he'll compare them to his. I know there are numbers that are out there, but again, when I say just look tonight, so what I'm looking for tonight, we know the opponents.
Sure.
I want to see the sequence of the games.
Travel.
And I want to see travel. And off air, and Matt Santos, producer, did a great job. I pulled up, for instance, I heard this and I wanted to confirm it. I looked at the Steelers' opponents. Now, I don't know what the sequence of these games is, but I don't think the Steelers leave the Eastern time zone.
That would be a first.
I think the farthest they travel might be Indianapolis, which I think, maybe that's the Central time zone. So if you pull up.
Well, not early.
No, but if you look at that,
year, I don't think they change.
Now
we don't have daylight savings time. So we don't even have that anymore.
Right. Okay. So you have a situation where the Steelers are their schedule is pretty friendly, travel friendly. I mean, obviously they have to win the games, they got to compete and everything. But you compare that to a team, I want to say Seattle. Now let's remember this: Seattle, when they travel, they've already got a considerable travel schedule, right? Where they are up in the Pacific
just
Northwest.
Logistics.
If you look at their schedule, I think how many times do they circumnavigate the globe? I think they have to go to Europe. They've got to go cross country quite a few times as well. I think when you look at things like that, And whether you're booking these or you're betting them, that's something certainly something that you want to take into consideration. Now, Michael, I know that you've spoken about how much better teams travel this in this day and age, right? And the way they prepare and stuff. But listen, I think travel comes into play.
May I just say this? You're 100% right. The Steelers away, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Bills, Dolphins, Colts, Falcons, Panthers, Eagles. The most west they'll travel is to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, right? Now, if you look at Seattle, and again, you also have to kind of figure out what's – because every 5 minutes it seems like there's a – you know, something's getting out, sure, right? This game. And now some of them are accurate. I wonder if all of them are accurate. I don't know what's accurate and what's not. What we know will be accurate is when the NFL releases the schedule tonight. And then, you know, what I'll do is I'll say, you know what, let me – you know, I'll tweak some juice or maybe even a half a game to – but now Seattle is.
Seattle is 49ers, Cardinals, Rams, Saints, Buccaneers in Munich, Germany.
Okay.
The Lions, the Chiefs, the Chargers.
Okay. So there's a lot more travel involved there. Remember the Raiders a few years ago, and I remember Brent Musburger when he had to travel. We saw Brent, we were doing My Guys in the Desert, and Brent told Amal Shah and I'll see you guys in a couple of months. So they went from the studio, and the Raiders went to Indianapolis,
then to London.
He was right. We didn't. Yep. It was about 5 or 6 weeks by the time they got back. So you have to, in my opinion, take that into account. And so that's just the final tweak will be seeing the sequence of the games tonight, and I would encourage
Vinny, once you see this, when will we get your win totals posted tomorrow?
I don't know if it'll be tomorrow, Michael, or the next time, but I would say, you know, Chris will take advantage of the weekend crowd that'll be here, and they'll be up within a few days for sure. Yeah.
And then your opening lines for week one will be posted when?
Typically, we do week one. I mean, we got the Hall of Fame game, which is always easy to do. Probably week one, we typically do put up things here, including college stuff, late May, early June. So within the next few weeks.
I would just like to say DraftKings is going to have lines for every game posted tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
So every game on the schedule?
That's what it says. Wow. That is quite a venture. What I loved about that, though, is, you know, you think computers, you think algorithms. What I love, and I think the public should understand, is this is still done with minds like Vinny and Chris Andrews getting together. That's where these numbers come from, and that's what's fascinating. We're back with Vinny next here at Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Discover BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today, of course, $200 if you place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA game. You got two tonight to bet. If you use that code, it is actually code 200, C-O-D-E 200. Somebody hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200. This is for new bettors over at BetMGM. Again, the king of sportsbooks. Bet 10 to win $200. Must be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas, where right behind me, the book is run by Chris Andrews. Of course, Vinny Maliulo, Hall of Famer. I said algorithm on the way out, and that can be kind of one of those buzzwords in the betting circles. Certainly in games, very algorithmic. But what I wanted to point out to the viewer, and you wanted to comment on this, is that it's still mano a mano as far as bookmakers setting some of these numbers.
Yeah, you can't ignore the eye test, right? I mean, I think, again, let's get back to the regular season wins. We mentioned paying attention to the we know the opponents, but the sequence of the games, things like that. You also want to take into account what I mentioned, the travel, like the Steelers are they're shuttle flights for the Steelers this year compared to we mentioned Seattle having to do considerable travel, including a trip to Europe over to Munich. The other part is when, you know, the thing about algorithms is this, and algorithms, you know, you can plug things in. I don't ignore analytics or algorithms because in this day and age, they're involved with a lot of things that we do. But you still have to have the human element, your gut feeling. The biggest difference between us as human beings and algorithms is that algorithms don't have eyes and they don't hear. They don't see what's happening. It's just a formula. And not to trivialize it, but here's an example, particularly for in-game. You brought up in-game. Most in-game, when there's a very heavy in-game menu, they're very feed-driven / algorithmic, algorithm driven. Well, what happens if a team, and this actually happened a couple of years ago. Now, there's been some adjustments, too, and I think more people are paying attention to this. There was a Monday night game a couple of years back, and the home team was up by 17. They had a first and goal. The in-game price was 17.5 based on the algorithm. I'm looking at this and I'm watching, and what the algorithm didn't realize is the defensive team was out of timeouts, and there was less than 2 minutes to go in the game. Team's taking a knee.
Yeah.
They're not going in.
Right.
But some places, they had it still open at 17.5.
Computer can't make up for that type
of
scenario.
So you know, again, the eye test and the feel for things like that. The other thing to think about, too, with the regular season wins, and I'd love to hear Michael's take on this particular part, is I like to take into account, when do teams have buys? I tend to think, and again, Michael will know this far better than me, I think teams would prefer to have their buy probably in the middle third of the schedule. But I think, you know, not everybody does. So, you know, you and I were talking off air, Patrick, for Michael. Michael, in your experience, is that accurate? Middle third, or when do teams prefer to have their bye during the course of the season?
I think dead smack in the middle. I think they would like to get rest. You know, the worst thing is the early bye. You're just getting going on your routine, and then all of a sudden you've got to stop and give the players 4 days off and all that. I think right smack in the beginning of November, and that before Thanksgiving is the ideal place that you want to, because, you know, you're only limited to one day on in terms of pads, so you can't really go full force, and your team's probably a little tired. But I think the coaches are really good at pacing themselves as the year goes on. So when you have that later bye, you kind of know how to work through it. If you have that early bye, you also know that you need to be able to work a harder camp a little bit just because you got to get some reps in that perhaps you're not going to get as the season wears on. That bye kind of gives you a little bit of a stop in the action, which sometimes affects your pad level and affects your fundamentals.
And following up with that, Michael, the teams that travel to London and Munich, Germany, they have an option to have their bye directly after that game. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. And you know, sometimes, you know, I think ultimately, you know, the travel, the way these teams travel is certainly a lot on them. But the players are comfortable. And I think that some teams would depend on, you know, if you get that bye, is this really going to help us? Are we going to get nourished? Are we going to get helped? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if we got to play the next week, it's going to have to be a team we know, because by the time we get back and do all those things, we're behind. And so you're balancing the mental health, the physical health of the players, along with the coaching staff in their preparation to get ready. You know, one of the things that we know now, when this Christmas schedule comes out, those teams that know they're playing Christmas Day, you know, they start preparing for them this week. Well, the whole Christmas week, everybody does. But let's say you're playing Thanksgiving and you're not Detroit, Dallas, or one of the other teams, and you get the Thanksgiving game, you got to start preparing for that because your week's so short. Mm-hmm. Or you're playing a Thursday night. That's when you start working on those games in June.
Yeah, short weeks for teams, longer weeks. Who's got that extra half a week on the other end of a Thursday night game? Remember this too: the NFC teams have the extra game at home this year. They're alternating. Last year, the AFC teams had that extra home game. Now, again, home field advantage in pro football isn't what it is in college football.
Right?
However, the travel associated, so you put a lot of factors together, and when those games are, again, the sequence of the games is really important for the folks that are out there listening, watching, and now to take into account when you're formulating your regular season wins.
Well, we know the schedule's dropping. Please go ahead, Michael.
Well, you know what I think is interesting about this schedule is this version of it. We know the AFC South is not filled with four great teams. At Tennessee and Indianapolis, we know Houston mm-hmm. and Jacksonville are rebuilding. We also know the East is not exactly four great teams. I know two went to the playoffs last year, but with the Giants, you know, with the Giants in Washington really not there, you know, and they play each other. Right. You know, they play each other. So that's something I haven't been able to, like, who's going to get affected? Those win totals of those two teams, of those four teams in the division, somebody's going to benefit from that. I'm just not sure who. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the other thing is I'm glad you brought up the divisions, Michael, because, I mean, I think the general consensus is, and I agree with it, that the AFC West, for instance, is probably the best conference. All right, we rate teams. You have a power rating of teams. I also power rate the divisions, too. Safe to say, I think that the West is good. Now, what are those sequence of games within the, you know, within the division, and then how do those teams come out of those games? You know, I mean, those are going to be great games. I think they're going to be very entertaining games, I should say. So, very heavily bet games. You know, you're looking at. You mentioned the AFC East. Sure, two teams last year, probably two teams this year. You know, and rating those teams, I obviously the Bills are at the top. I've kind of moved the Dolphins into the second spot, although the big question mark under center, Patriots. And the Jets, so they're the Dolphins and the Jets should be better. So it should be a better division too, you know, with those games there. But Michael, you know this too. They're really, you know, it's the NFL. There are no gimmies in there. We saw upsets last year. We're going to see we see them every year, and we're going to see plenty of upsets this coming year.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's why it's so hard. That's where the hardest tournament everybody puts together is mm-hmm. It seems like the easiest, which is the Survivor one, but it's the hardest because, you know, who could predict something that could happen? And, you know, and I think ultimately, I know people love to do their Survivor picks in advance and look at the schedule and plan it all out. And I think planning it out, but you have to be a little bit, like you said, Vinny, you got to do the eye test.
Yep.
You got to do the adjustment. Yep. And you've got to be able to be adaptable within that, because there's so many games that, you know, you take for granted that you think are going to be easy. Raiders are going to be lose to the Cowboys. They didn't.
And just to confirm, fellas, and this was in the daily newsletter, which you can get over at VSiN.com. Just enter your email address. It's completely free. It says, of course, we'll have real-time reactions from the primetime action crew and the nightcap crews tonight here on VSiN. But DraftKings says it will have lines for every game on the schedule by 10 p.m. Eastern tonight.
Interesting. Typically what will happen, and good for those guys, Johnny Avello and his team, putting those together. The games that will get the most betting interest initially will be week one.
And that's what Michael said. Yeah. You missed it when we said, what do you focus on as a front office? He's like, September.
Yeah.
Because, you know, injuries and just unforeseen situations pop up. What I start to learn over years working with Michael is they deal with what's literally in front of them, and they don't really care about anything else. It's like there's too much in front of you there's too much
there's
on the line.
Too much. You're eating an elephant. You got to do it one bite at a time. You can't do it. You know, it's hard.
We're back.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.